today, bitches.
Hello and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 4, episode 39, episode number 174. How is it going?
Oh, you know, just another day in quarantine town.
Another day in quarantine paradise, quarantine-a-dice.
Yep, all of that.
Yeah, it's going. I actually got up this morning at my usual time and went on a walk before work.
Nice.
Which happens to be like kind of like more or less my route to, like, I almost went to work. Like,
nice.
It was, you know, nice. My feet just took me there. But it was good. It's a good way to start the day.
Good.
Nice. I like it. Yeah. I've been getting up and working out the past couple of days. Some of my friends from the gym that I went to back in our old lives. She has like one of those like Beachbody accounts. So we like all get on Zoom together and like
nice.
Do a video in the morning.
Which ones
so
do you do?
It's good. So that when I eat like, I don't know, whatever she picks, I don't know what they are. Today we did like a half hour like body weight one. And then we did like a Pilates one. We did like an insanity workout like a couple days ago.
Oh, those are good. The
but
insanity.
I'm sore again. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm a little sore. I can eat a slice of cake, stale week-old cake in the afternoon and not feel as bad.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No, I won't even tell you guys. I ate a piece of chocolate with leftover frosting on it before we got on the call.
Oh.
That's how it is here. It's been that kind of day.
Oh my God.
Dude, I get you. I went on a tear on Tuesday and was kind of like, what is going on? And then I realized like, oh, so it's like period week.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yep, just miserable. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to eat a chocolate bar with frosting on it. Yep,
that's delicious.
That tracks. Yeah. It was pretty good.
I genuinely don't see the problem with that.
Yeah.
I sometimes will take like a chocolate bar and put peanut butter on top of it. And
I do that too.
Yeah, you know, it never tastes as good as like a Reese's, but I always pretend like it does.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what you can do is take some peanut butter. I like to put it in like a little coffee mug. A little bit of peanut butter and take some chocolate chips and then put it in the microwave for like 10, 15 seconds.
That's the thing with just like the chocolate square is that the chocolate is too hard.
Yeah.
So if you melt it a little bit, then it has more of a peanut butter.
You can just like eat that with a spoon in it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
We are live tonight with our patrons at all levels, actually. We opened it up to everybody. So we've got Kayla, we've got Dennis, we've got Ro, we've got Greg. There's more people that have to be in here, but I am lazy. Let's see. Now, there's only people that have been in the chat. So, JP is here. I see JP up there. So, hello, everybody. Show your faces if you haven't said anything yet. Good to see you, especially because we said that we announced this show
like 20 minutes ago.
20 minutes ago, basically.
And y'all came out, threw up the broad sign and everyone came running.
Exactly.
Warms the heart.
Exactly. The broad sign. But anyway, it is good though to see everybody. I didn't shower for you, but I did put makeup on. For the first time in a week.
Nice.
I had this moment, and I know I tweeted this, and it was absolutely 100% true. It wasn't exaggeration, where it was 3 o'clock on Monday, and I realized I had not showered since 3 o'clock on Friday. So that was a thing.
What is time anymore?
And, it happens. Exactly.
And I said it like to the kids out loud, and Alex starts cracking up. And I know he didn't get why it was funny, but I was just like, guys, I haven't showered since Friday. And Alex was like, silly mommy. And I'm like, you don't know what that means, but I love it. I love your dedication to the bit.
On board.
And Zachary was like, ew, you need to shower twice today. One time you need to shower after dinner. The next time you need to shower after bedtime. And I was like, all right, fair.
All right.
So I did shower that day, and then I showered the next day, which was yesterday. No, which was Tuesday. And then I showered on Wednesday, so I had 3 days in a row, but I did not shower today.
It's fine.
Yeah. Gott and Cher are also in the chat. And Mary Ellen. Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, good times. I heard Mary Ellen is one of those angels that are making masks for people, which is awesome.
Good on ya.
That's awesome. My mom was also busy making masks. I don't remember if I said anything on the podcast, but she was like asking us all about like what kind of fabric we wanted. And she had a little bit of fabric that's champagne bottles.
Oh,
so she took the raspberry for me and Frank. And I was mentioning it to my neighbors, and they thought that was really cool. And then I mentioned that my neighbors thought it was cool to my mom, and my mom was like, "Oh, well, do they need masks?" And then a whole like, "And what do they like?" And what? So she found some fabric to go with their, you know, leisure time activities. And yeah,
nice.
That's awesome. So Aunt Cindy made Jay a mask and sent it. And I'm waiting for mine, but it's weird because when we go out, I'm the person that's going like this. I'm pulling my shirt over my mouth. And Jay's the person that looks normal in a mask.
You know.
And so like point, a like, halfway.
Do you have a bandana? Just use like a bandana.
I thought I did, but I have no idea it was. I have that one bandana that I was, it's not really a bandana. It's like a buff from Survivor. Like yep. It's a Double Dare one that we got at Comic-Con actually, but honestly, it's too small.
Buffs are pretty thin.
It's not great. And so I just kind of like gave up on it after like, you know, 2 days of wearing it. So now I'm like that person that goes in like this, but it's, you know, midway through because I talk so much and I'm just like, that I just give up. And, you know, yesterday, Jay and I ran up to Target and Jay was like, he was like, yes, but we need to like go in and go out. And I was like, absolutely. And I'm like, do you see the dollar section? And he's like, what part of go in and go out do you not get? And I was like, just give me this for a second. He says with his mask. And I say, I'm like, but did you see this? Isn't this so cute? And look, there's little binoculars here. We can get the binoculars for the kids. Oh, and then anyway.
Nice. Yeah. I tried the like hair buff thing when I was running this weekend in the park. It's kind of tough. It's like I had to like put the sunglasses to kind of hold it. And
I know.
Because, it's now.
Honestly, I've been going for walks during the day and. It is probably, when we first started this, it was probably like 80% of people were wearing masks while walking on the greenways. And I would say now, most people have them like pulled down around their neck. And, you know, like they've started their walk with it, but like it's getting hotter now, which is also, I think. And I heard today that UV lights kill coronavirus. So we're just injecting them into our sweet, sweet souls to be safe. Oh, Randy's there too. Hello. But you know,
Randy's here. God's in the house.
It's funny to just see how people adapt to it.
You know what? It reminds me, because I've seen that too. I've seen people with the masks that they've then pulled down, and you're like, they tell you you're not supposed to touch it. So like, what? It's like you just screwed yourself. And then if you want to put it back, then you have to put your hands back really close to your face. But it reminds me of people that you see riding bikes.
Yeah.
With like their helmet either on the bike. Or like on their head, but not buckled.
You're doing it wrong.
It's not going to help you. It's not terribly helpful.
The problem is in North Carolina, which I think, and we actually got our plan with dates today, which it's good. The earliest we're going to start to reopen on May 8th. And the reason we were supposed to reopen, we were sheltering in place. I'm sorry. Let me finish the one thought about the outside thing. It's gotten really hot here where it's been like 80 plus degrees and where like I can easily see somebody starts with the best intentions with the mask and then literally can't breathe because of the humidity. I went for a walk last Friday and I was geocaching and it was under the bridge and I stepped on a pile of rocks under the bridge and there was a snake underneath it. And I exclaimed. It wasn't a scream. I exclaimed so loudly. I was like, whoa, that's a snake. And I said it just like that. I was like, whoa, that's a snake. And
what kind of snake?
Well,
You guys have scary snakes.
We have scary snakes. But in Wake County, where I live, predominantly copperheads are the bed snakes. And it was definitely not a copperhead, because I know to look for that. There's a copperhead that lives right by the water at the edge of Lake Ann, right? But we've got our black snake here, so I know what black snakes look like. I didn't recognize this snake, but I knew it wasn't a black snake, and I knew it wasn't a copperhead. But to me, I was like, so I wanted to walk back around, and I was like under a bridge. I wanted to walk back around past it, but it was staring at me, and I was like, okay,
no,
this isn't like, you know, me being afraid of beasts. Nightmare. They're staring at me like, and I can walk around them. This is like a snake. So I climbed up the side of this rusty bridge, probably got tetanus, which I'm also going to get to in a second, because that might pay off as well. And I literally like, do the like crawling along the outside of this bridge to get back to the greenway. I took a picture of the snake though. I showed Jay later on when I got home, and I was like, but I think it was like a harmless one. I just don't know which one it was. You know, it wasn't a copperhead. And he goes, that's a viper head, because they have like, you know, the venomous snakes have a different head. He's like, I would look that up. And I looked it up, and it was a fucking cottonmouth snake, which is venomous. Gross.
What is that?
It's venomous. It's like a copperhead. So it's not, copperheads generally aren't deadly to adults. To children, yes, they can be deadly. But to adults, generally, if you get treated fairly quickly, you're okay. You know, unless you have, you know, exacerbating health issues or, you know, whatever.
Unless like, the hospital's full of people with COVID-19.
Well, that too. But I wasn't thinking about that at the moment, because I found out much later. And I was just like, holy shit. So I've been very kind of like, and jumpish since then. But the tetanus thing comes into play, because yesterday, as we're recording this Wednesday, all of a sudden I can't close my jaw on this side. And it's weird. It comes and goes, but I can't, it hurts. I can't do it. I can click it into place kind of. I don't know what it is. I woke up in the middle of the night. I was able to like do it. And like, I can't touch my teeth to teeth in the back all of a sudden. And like, it was painful last night. Like chewing my dinner was painful. And I was like, is it a cavity? Is it like my jaw? And I was like, no, I can't bite down. Like my jaw physically can't touch. During the day, I woke up, I still couldn't, but during the day it went away. I could do it. Like I could grind my teeth in the back, like touch it. And then all of a sudden again, around the same time of night, dinner time, I couldn't close it again. So Jay was like, oh my God, you got tetanus from that rusty bridge. And I was like, I don't think so. Maybe, I don't know. I think it's TMJ, because I looked it up, and that goes away. That's like the something's out of line, like a disc or
It's just like some
kind of inflammation or something. Yeah. I think that's what it was, but that's where my snake story was paying off to, was that now I've got this symptom of like lockjaw, which isn't though. I don't think it is at all. So anyway, I've talked a lot. It's somebody else's turn.
We took Captain to the vet this weekend.
Oh, how did?
Oh my God!
Yeah, okay? It was a trip. He's okay. He's rocking the cone of shame. So Captain is crushing quarantine.
What happened?
So he has like a lot of wax buildup in his ears. I know, kind of gross. So it's like normally we like maintain it with like, you know, just fairly regular cleaning of his ears. And I think in the stress of everything, we sort of fell behind, and he scratched his ear too hard and gave himself a hematoma. What's a hematoma, you ask? It's a big puffy bulb of blood. Yeah. And it's in his ear. So his ear is all like ballooned out. And it was just, it was like, well, that's not normal. So called the vet. And so we brought him. And it was just so weird, because it's like, we still go to the vet in my old neighborhood, which is like a 12-minute drive away. So we had to like get in a Lyft, which was like an experience of like what that was like.
Wow.
And then we get there and they have like the lobby of the vet like sectioned off. There's a big red like caution tape across the middle of the waiting room, and they like come and they take the cat from you in the waiting room, and you have to leave. And then the vet calls you and talks to you on the phone, but it's like, because we don't live in that neighborhood, we just had to kind of like wander around because like nothing's open. It was so bizarre. Like, thankfully it was a warm enough day. Like, it's been kind of cold here in New York, but it was thankfully a warm enough day on Saturday that we could just kind of like roam around and it was fine. Yeah. And the vet calls and they're like, yeah, it's a hematoma. Like, we'll drain it, but like, it's going to fill back up. Like, you could do a surgical procedure, but like, eventually his body will reabsorb it. You just have to be patient. We're going to give you some drops. We're going to put a cone on his head. It'll take 2 weeks and, you know, we'll see it. So we go and we pick him back up. And so now he's got a cone on his head.
What's 2 weeks in quarantine days? Am I right?
Seriously. Yeah, but it's like he can't really walk, so he kind of lumbers now. He just kind of lumbers, and he just can't grasp the mechanics of the cone. Like, he'll try and get in doors that he could like scurry behind before, but now he just kind of walks into them and like just kind of keeps pushing. Like, eventually it's gonna work. And trying to eat food is like impossible because it's just like meals are his favorite time of the day. He tries to get at the food like he normally would, but the cone then gets in the way. And it's like, I have to lift the bowl and put it in the cone with him. And then it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. I can't wait for it to be over.
So it's 2 weeks total.
Theoretically, but like if it hasn't gone down,
theoretically it's 2 weeks.
Right. I don't want to take the cone off if he's.
Yeah, if he hasn't flattened that curve in 2 weeks.
He hasn't flattened that curve, you know? But the sad news is like his ear is never going to be the same. He's going to have like a cauliflower ear for forever now.
Oh, well.
So
it gives him character.
Exactly. He's handsome enough. Like, he'll be fine.
Oh, poor Captain, though.
But yeah, I feel bad. I kind of hope he makes his way in because it is sad, but also very funny.
Oh, Cap.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys can hear the piano playing upstairs, but Jay is trying to teach himself how to play Clocks by Coldplay.
Oh, at least that's pretty sounding.
Yeah.
My upstairs neighbors were listening to, I shit you not, like Heartbeats yesterday.
Are they expecting a baby? Like, I mean, they have a lot of sex, so like.
No, they actually don't. They've been very quiet in that regard. So I don't know if maybe something's up between the two of them. I don't want to judge, but I will judge the fact that he has terrible taste in music, that it's just a lot of very drony, like ambient house music.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the song Heartbeats. And I was like,
No, an actual like a.
Okay. Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
But so loud.
Terrifying. Oh my God. Last night in the middle of the night, we must have had a power surge. I woke up twice. And the first time I saw lights like in the hallway outside. And there's a sensor light in between where Jay and my bedroom is. So our house is like an L shape. And I saw this light go off. And first I was like, oh, maybe it's Zoe. And then I realized, because Zoe will set that sensor light off all the time. And I'm very light. I'm photosensitive, like when it comes to, I'm a light sleeper. So anyway, whatever. So I woke up, I saw the lights were on. I was like, oh my God, it must be 6 and it must be like Zachary must be awake and he knows not to come in until 7. So it must be that. And then I wake up a second time and the lights, like it's just bright lights from there. And you know, I look at the clock and I was like, oh God, like, you know, is it almost 7 yet? And it's only 4:30 in the morning. And I was like, well, what the fuck is that? So I go out and we must have had a power surge because all of the lights are on bright, right? And like, we had told Alexa to turn them off. So like, the light switches were up, right? Because when they're up, Alexa controls them. And if you have a power surge because they're up, Alexa was offline from the power surge. The lights were on because, you know, she couldn't turn them off. So the lights are on, like, full brightness. The creepy part was the TV, and Lost fans out there will know what I mean. You know, like the Room 47 or whatever it was, like the, you know, the those brainwashing TV movie, like spirals, like black and white spirals.
Mm-hmm.
Those were on our TV, oh, and I go, and it's 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
I would immediately have backed back up, gone into my bed.
Well, so I shut the lights. I shut
over the head and pretend like nothing happened.
I see that Alexa's offline. I see that the clocks, you know, are at a time that are blinking. That's, you know, doesn't reflect the current time. So I quickly put together the dishwasher had been set before we went to sleep. The dishwasher was paused. So I restart the dishwasher. I turn the lights off. I turn the TV off, and I check on both the kids, make sure that they're physically there and breathing. I'm like, okay, we're good. And then, like, I try to go back to sleep, and it took a little while. And then between that and, like, the headaches that I've had lately in the lockjaw, I was like, what do you have, cancer? And then it was just, like, a long night. Anyway, yeah, good times.
Colleen, I tell Frank often that you guys are very similar, and I really need you to meet in real life, because, like, he would be so there for that conversation. I don't know if like you guys reinforcing the fear that you might have cancer is like a good thing, but you know.
Well, I mean, I woke up. Well, even when I was there, I was like, you don't really have that. You would know. You have yearly physicals. You have blood tests. You're always
yes, good. Yes, yes, yes.
Like I go through.
I know. Myself. I know the list.
Hey, it's easy to go down that road. I think we all have when we're awake at 3 a.m. and yeah.
Okay, so quick announcement before we move on. We finished our office brackets this week. The winner was Dinner Party, which I approve of. So I was very disappointed that Casino Night didn't win, but I was very happy that Dinner Party won. So thank you to everyone out there that played along with that, because that was a lot of fun. We're going to start the Beatles brackets on Monday. So if you are in the Jay and Jack Facebook group, that would be facebook.com/group/Jay and Jack group, and want to participate in the Beatles brackets, you know, please feel free to join us and leave some comments. I thought that I love the Taylor Swift ones, but I especially enjoyed the Office ones where there was a lot of comments that went on, because people being engaged made me feel a lot better. Oh, hey, Eckhart's here. Hi.
Hey.
So.
Hello.
So, yeah, but please, you know, join us for the Beatles ones. I think that will be a lot of fun. Cool. If nobody else has anything, does anybody want to?
Oh, I do have something.
Okay, go ahead.
I have two things. First of all, Maggie the Magnificent sent me a little surprise in the mail.
She sent me one too. I wonder if it's the same.
I think it might be.
Yeah, please,
Little Fires
tell.
Everywhere. The book Little Fires Everywhere.
Oh, yay!
Yeah. And a lovely little card to go with it.
And a lovely little card. And I don't know if yours coincided, but I got them both on the same day, which was like...
I did get them on the same day. Good job.
Yeah, good timing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So excited for that. Yeah. So now we can actually read that.
We can have a real and proper broadcast book club. We all have the book.
We all have the book. Yes. And then I also was actually I was a guest on a podcast. Listeners will know the Real Word Sisters. The episode came out today. They asked me to be on for a sorting of the characters in Twilight.
Oh my God. No way. Was it just you or did Tim do it too?
No. It was just me. So it was just the three of us sorting.
See, they should have done a callback to the past and had the three of us on it.
Because, I mean, it's true that 50 Shades of Grey is fan fiction of Twilight. So... it tracks. But anyway, that came out today. I'll post it in the Jay and Jack group. But yeah, it was fun to record and much longer than I was expecting. I don't mean that to sound bad, but it's just like when you're talking about something so dumb, you know, you think, How long could this possibly be? But it was really fun. So yeah, I have a past with Twilight, which I've probably talked about on the podcast.
Oh, we sure have. I don't know if I've cut it out or not, but I feel like I have some.
Yeah. Well, it's all explained in that episode too. So anyway, if anyone's looking for like an extra episode of silliness to listen to, then there you go.
Absolutely. Yes. And we stan them.
Always.
So.
Always. Yes. Yeah, we do.
So, Fiona Apple's new album, anybody?
Oh, so good.
It's so good, right? I listened to it with Zach, and even he was like, he was asking questions about, he's like, what's her name? What does she look like? What color hair does she have? What other songs does she sing? So he was like, oh, and then he asked this weird question after, like, we went over some of the other songs, and I played him some of the other songs that I like from the other albums. He was like, what kind of dresses does she wear? And I was like, I don't know. Blue ones? Like, I don't know.
Blue ones? I don't know. I think she strikes me more as, like, a pants kind of gal.
It was so cute, though. It was just so funny.
Zach and I, we have very similar taste in music.
Yeah, he's a big fan of Shamika, though, but I think that could be because that's the one I play the most, because that's, I think that and For Her are my favorite songs on the album. Because so I love the like rock and roll like ish of Shamika. I love, you know, how it just talks about like somebody that got through to her in middle school that she still carries to this day. And I used that with Zach, actually. I was like, so, because he was like, well, who's Shamika? And I was like, well, the Shamika is a, because I read the Vulture article in which goes through all the songs and like what they mean. And I was like, well, that's a girl in middle school when she was a teenager and other people were, you know, mean to her. And this one girl told her like that she was better than that. And, you know, you always remember like the bad things that people say to you, but sometimes you remember the good things that people say to you. So that's why it's always important to stand up for somebody and say good things. So I was actually able to use it like as a lesson, which I was pretty proud of.
That's really cool.
Nice. Cool, mom.
But I really like that song. I love Fetch the Bolt Cutters for the
yes, me too. I love that one.
It means love when she's like, it was just the bullshit people say when they don't know what they're talking about, but I didn't know that yet. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Yep. Or, oh, gosh, what's the line? I actually had to go back and write it down because I loved it so much.
It's so
great,
I grew
up in the shoes I was told I could fill.
Yes.
Like, that hit me like a ton of bricks.
But I couldn't use them to climb up that hill, and I needed to climb up that hill.
Yeah.
I love that.
That is every woman ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that whole song is great. And then when you read about like her description of like how it came about, like she wrote it and she was feeling sad one day, and Cara Delevingne, or whatever, how we pronounce her name, the actress, she was like, I'm going to come over. She wanted her to record the Fetch the Bolt Cutters line in her English accent, which is the voice you hear in the song, like behind saying Fetch the Bolt Cutters as she's singing it. And she was like, I want to come over with my dogs and record it today. And Fiona's like, I'm really sad, I don't want to do it. And Kara's like, no, we're going to come over and we're going to do it. And they do it, and do it in one take, and the dogs are silent for the whole thing, and then they just start barking at the end. And Fiona loved it so much that she just kept all the barking in. And like, I love that the fact that she kept it in because it represents a moment in time for her, and that is like what this whole album is. And the fact that she like download her ex-boyfriend gave her GarageBand and told her like play around with this because she was socially anxious and didn't want to like, you know, do the whole rigmarole with everybody, and she just tinkered around with GarageBand for 5 years and came up with this amazing like album, and it's so great. Like it's her experimental album, like literally her experimental album, and I love that so much, and I love it.
Right, but it also still feels so very
Fiona.
Familiar. Like, it has all of her DNA. Like, even just the way the album opens.
Yes.
Like, it just, it feels, it builds upon everything we know of like the very fiber of her music. And then it's like, what is the opening line? I wrote this one down too, because I loved it. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's, I've waited many years. Every print I've left upon the tracks has led me here. And it was literally, it just like, it felt like a love letter to the listener. It was just like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel about this moment right now.
Yeah.
Like, I've missed Aww. You. Welcome back.
So what I love about the song, and Under the Table is great, like where she's like, you can say whatever the fuck you want to me. And she said that was based on a real thing too, but like, you can kick me under the table, but it's not going to shut me up. I love the line in that song, and I didn't write these down and I should have, but it was like, I would beg you to, I'll find it while we're talking, but the reason why I love For Her so much is, she wrote it based on a conversation she had with a woman who was a production assistant or something, right? Did you guys read the Vulture article?
No, I had it open for 2 days and X'd out of my browser and never got back to it.
She was somebody who was low on the totem pole and was having an affair with like a producer, and she didn't understand that she was being taken, like the whole time she was telling Fiona all these stories, she didn't understand that essentially she was being taken advantage of by somebody in power. And Fiona was like, well, you know, did you want any of this to happen? And the woman was like, well, no, but I had to. And she was like, well, that's rape, dude. And it was, you know, one of those things. She was like, I felt like she had to hear it out loud to understand what it was. And then she asked the woman, can I write it if I write it vaguely? And the woman said, yes, you know, as long as, you know, names aren't dropped. And she did. And she purposely, like, tells this story. And then, like, so it's this very, like, dark melody throughout the first 75% of it. And then it switches. And it's like, good morning, you rape me in the same bed that your daughter was born in. Good morning.
Yes.
You think you should know, but you don't know. And like the whole thing changes, and it's reflects what the, you know, the woman who went through these experiences is feeling, where like to her it was like bright and sunny the next morning because it was all like, you know, over and done with, and she didn't understand the balanced structure because she was so indoctrinated into like the world where, okay, you have to have sex with these people in order to like keep your job. And like the genius of like that, and the fact that like she says, I specifically said you raped me out loud because I felt that somebody else who might need the catharticness of singing it might be able to feel free if they could sing along with that line with me.
Yeah, I love in that explanation, she was like, yeah, it was a little bit clunky to just put in like you raped me into the middle of the song, but I felt like I had to do it.
And then the last song where she messes up in the middle of the song, she's like, oh, fuck shit. And then she sighs and just keeps it in. She's like, whatever.
I love it so much. Yeah, I still like the latter half of the album. I feel like I haven't spent quite as much time with, because it's like when I first listen to something, I like to do it all the way through. And I don't like pick back up, like I start back at the beginning again. So it's like I haven't spent as much time with the last like three tracks, and I think that'll be my homework for myself for the
weekend. Last three tracks are fun.
As fun as a song about rape can be, but you know,
last two tracks are more fun. I think it's a really great album, and I appreciate the thought and the detail that she puts into it. I actually truly admire her for getting like sober in order to like really like feel new feels in a way to be able to put that out. Like I the whole thing about like the detox she went through with her prescription medications and whatnot, like was actually very powerful for me to read about. And I really love this album in general.
It was worth the wait.
It was worth
the wait. It was 100% worth the wait.
So I asked you ladies over the weekend what your favorite Fiona Apple album was. And then I asked you your favorite lyric, if you knew. I'm going to add another question of your favorite song. So can you answer any of those three questions?
Oh, dear. I only prepared the lyric.
Okay.
But I think I could probably do the rest.
I knew you could. I knew you could.
Off the cuff.
Go ahead.
Well, my favorite lyric, and I don't even know if it's necessarily... No, it is...
Do it.
I don't know if it's my favorite, but it is decidedly the most meaningful for me. Because it's when we started talking about it, it was immediately the first thing that jumped into my head.
Okay, mine was like immediately the first thing I did. Okay. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Yeah. Okay. So it is, no, I don't believe in the wasting of time, but I don't believe that I'm wasting
mine. Yes, I love that one. That's from Waltz, right?
It's from Waltz from Extraordinary Machine. And it just really speaks to like my ethos as like a human. Like I feel like that concept is forever in the back of my head at like the, you know, just at my back pushing me forward. Cause I do often feel like in my darker moments, I do feel like, am I wasting my life? Am I wasting my time on this earth? And it's like that lyric always whispers in the back of my brain to just as a, like a subtle push forward.
Shandy, do you have anything prepared?
Oh, I don't have any. I don't think I have a favorite lyric I can say. I'm the most familiar with Tidal, and so I would say that that one's my favorite. I would say that that's also something that I listened to at a time in my life when I did just like listen to music more. Yeah. And so I have like stronger sort of memories associated with that. I really love Pale September, and I used to have, I think I still have, I need to look and see if I still have this somewhere. And then if I do have it, I need to probably frame it and put it up. But one of my good friends in high school made a painting that ended up in my possession. And the painting itself like really reminds me of that song as well. So that's what I would say. But I mean, from that, I don't know if I necessarily have a favorite lyric that I could say.
My favorite absolute Fiona musical moment is during the first taste where everything gets quiet and she goes, "Full is not nearly as heavy as empty, my love." Yeah, I love that part. I think it's beautiful. That I think that is the moment that I was like, oh, she's good. I'm going to go back and give her another listen. But my favorite album has to be When the Pawn, because although I love Extraordinary Machine, and as we talked about this weekend, I love the bootleg version that...
Oh, I started listening to it, and it's been a very busy week.
I know it has.
I have not gotten back to it.
I will have to know that.
I will. That might be my favorite album, Extraordinary Machine.
I love Extraordinary Machine. Like, I love the bootleg version, and I love the normal version because it has Parting Gift on it, and I love the, like... what's the lyric? It's like, should have taken them off again so I can see you see me sincerely yelling back. I love that part.
Right.
But I think my favorite Fiona lyric of all time comes from Paper Bag. And it's, he said it's all in my head. And I said, so is everything. But you didn't get it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very Dumbledore-esque.
Yeah.
Let's see. Which one came first?
Yeah. He said it's all in my head. And I said, so is everything. But he didn't get it. I thought he was a man, but he was just a little boy. Yeah. Anyway, I love that song. I love that album. I love that lyric. Like, it's just so tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. I think if there was a better way to go, it would find me.
Fiona's a lyrical genius. That's the end.
Yep. Yes. Oh, and we haven't talked. The most recent album before this one. I also very much love Werewolf.
Oh, yeah.
We have not talked about that album.
Is probably...
Yes, and I can never remember the title name because it's just like...
Honestly?
Beautifully absurd.
I love Hot Knife.
Yeah, I sing that one a lot too. Werewolf is a song I love to sing.
Yeah.
I find it very hard to stay in tune. Like, just the key she chooses for it is very, very challenging.
Yeah.
And that's another one. Nothing wrong with a song when a song ends in a minor key. I also just very much love that line.
Yeah. Any other songs we want to highlight from this episode? This episode from this album.
I got to go back and read the article and then do another listen.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We'll see you in another 8 years. But
don't go away that long.
I know. I thought it was so good. Any last thoughts before we take our commercial break and move on?
Cool. Nope.
All right.
Great.
Cool.
All right. We are back. We have had a lively conversation with our chat while we weren't recording. Another reason to be a patron. They heard a lot of interesting things. Well, one of my friends from high school, like I was tweeting with her, this past like week, and she mentioned like Fiona is the only artist I can think of, and I've been racking my brain all week, that I have listened to her since her first album, and I still listen to her now. Because anybody else, I either joined in later into their career or they've stopped making music.
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, like, because I've been trying to think too. I'm like, I don't listen to a lot of the same people I used to listen to. Like, Fiona might be one of the only ones. Like, I can't be like Tori Amos because I did not come into her. I came into her like her fourth album. Alanis, like, I guess, you know, she had her album that wasn't popular, like Jagged Little Pill. I came into her, but I've kind of fallen off on the Alanis train. Yeah, like Dave Matthews, I was kind of like in the middle, right?
Right.
Of their run.
And then they started making kind of crappy music.
Yeah. So it's got interesting. But she made a great point. I was like, who else have I been listening to, like, from the beginning that I still listen to now?
And gosh, I don't know.
While we were talking, anybody that listens to the Survivor podcast, I definitely scratched that same scab open. And I was prepared this time, and I quickly, without anybody notice, like, grabbed up.
Oh dear.
No, there it is. No, yesterday, when we were recording this week, Survivor JJC, I was so excited about Tony's Toniness that I'm compulsive. Like, I'm the person that you don't want around during a pandemic, because I'm like, wait, what do you mean don't touch your eyes? And I just kept scratching a scab. I was like excited and itching at a scab on my ankle, and I like scratched it open, and the blood was dripping down my leg while we were recording for a couple of minutes until it got to the carpet, in which I was like, all right guys, we need to stop. Anyway,
I listened to that this morning on my walk, but I can't remember. I mean, I remember you talking about scratching it, but
anyways, all right. So we've got some, we got to answer the question of who have you listened to from the beginning until now. Randy says the Indigo Girls.
Nice. Good choice. Randy.
Yeah, that's good.
That is a fantastic choice, Randy. I am jealous that you have, like, that's awesome. Does it count like Jewel? Because I love Jewel, and I've actually like I follow all her new albums, so I feel like I could put Jewel as an answer.
Yeah.
It counts. I want to say No Doubt, but I've stopped listening to No Doubt since. But I did listen to all their albums that they were putting out.
Yeah, I even got that last one that they did, what, like 6-7 years ago?
Yes. What was that?
I even got that. It was okay. I can't remember what it was called.
Me either, which means it wasn't that great.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was fine.
There was maybe, I think there was one song off the album that I genuinely liked.
Tragic Kingdom, the only song I don't listen to on Tragic Kingdom when I re-listen to that album is The Climb. Like, every single other song on that album is so great.
I don't even know which song that is. But
it's
the one that
Gwen Stefani's brother wrote, and he's the one that like left the band. It's like the second or third to the very end. I don't know. I think that Tragic Kingdom is such a great album, and I still listen to it from start to finish, with the exception of that one song.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus is The Climb, though. I literally listen to on repeat some days. I love that song so much.
It is a good one. Yeah, that was one I was very adamantly against it till I really actually listened to it. And you're like, this is a great pop song.
It's a really great pop song. Anyway, all right. So here we are. Our top five broadcasts. So essentially I came up with five broadcasts and a whole bunch of honorable mentions. So there's a lot here, but there's less than 20. And that's a good thing. By three, there's 17. Okay. I thought that was a good number, considering I, you know, had to come up with two seasons worth. So, Will, this is for you and anybody else out there that wants to join us. Okay, so the first one is, and you guys had to have seen this coming, was one of my all-time favorite broadcasts, and that is episode 3.3, Keep It Civil War, from July 7th, 2018. The description was... Shandy, Amanda, and Amanda went to the Keep Families Together marches. Okay, that's a bummer. But Colleen decides to take activism in a different way. gives a turtle update. The broads read some of the tragic letters from the Second Civil War on Twitter and ponder what inspiration means to us and how we get inspired. Oh, God, that was terrible. Not Freudian slip. It was just a slip of the tongue. Anyway, I love that episode. That whole Keep It Civil War thing. The fact that you guys, you know, spotlight the heart of the broadcast, which is like standing up for people through activism. Turtles is in there too, like
turtles. It was a time with a lot of turtles.
I really love episode 3.3, Keep It Civil War, from July 5th, 2018. Moving on, we have the following episode. Honestly, this portion, like the beginning of season three, I thought was like we were on fire. I personally loved re-listening and editing all these episodes, so it was tough to choose just two of the first like few. But the next one I loved was called Polyanimalist, and this was action-packed. It's from July 13th, 2018. Let's see. It's the last episode before our mini summer vacation. And people in the chat, please feel free to throw in your opinions on any of these episodes if you've listened to them. On this episode, we discuss the movie Blockers, revisit some of the Second Civil War letters, and get into a lot of listener feedback and more. And honestly, I loved the movie Blockers, like, as you all know.
That was a surprising one.
So I thought our conversation was so much fun. I thought like just the whole thing from start to finish. So I was really, you know, I would recommend that one as well. The next one, we skip down to episode 3.11 from September 13th, 2018. And that was called Freezer Cheese.
Oh yeah.
Let's see. We look back on
yesterday or the other day about how we don't have any freezer cheese right now because we'd really like to do a raclette, but the store that sells the raclette cheese is closed. And I was like, if we had just had stocked up, we could have some in the freezer.
I know. Somebody's cat is crying. I can't tell where it's coming from.
It's Fiona.
She's upset about no freezer cheese.
Yep.
Okay, so we hear about, we go over the list of things that women should stop feeling guilty for. Amanda had a bad day. I had a trip to the pediatrician. I'm assuming November 13th, I'm assuming somebody had a shot and it was awful. I just remember that being particularly fun. Because, you know, sometimes I do all the editing, so I re-listen to all of our episodes several times, but I really like freezer cheese by memory. moving on, we're going to skip to trigger alert episode 3.14. And that would be, I Still Like Pie. Do you guys remember what that was about?
Well, that was our pie episode. Pie 3.14. We've had multiple pie things.
So we talked about I Still Like Pie because somebody said in their confirmation hearing a few days earlier, I like beer. I still like beer.
Oh. Great.
And honestly, I include this episode because I think that it is... We do the best worst answers on Yahoo Answers, which I remember being particularly funny. But I think that this is quintessential broadcast in where we talk about, you know, just some of the things that mean things to us. And if you're going to mix funny, you need to mix serious. So I would definitely include I Still Like Pie.
Nice.
That being said, skip over 2 weeks later to episode 3.16, I Got a Man Crush. Somebody
cue man crush.
Sorry, this is the reality of confinement. Frank is in class downstairs and he's like muted for most of the time, but right now he happens to be talking.
I included this one because we first talk about The Good Place. We do spooky stories, and I love when we do spooky stories. We get a refresher course on a Bible verse, and somebody emails us their first naked dream email. I know, I also can't remember it, but I remember like really liking this episode when it came out. The next one is, as we move along, there's a Wikipedia page for that. We have talked about this one several times. Essentially,
that was a fun one.
It was,
that was a fun one.
Like, we discover that Wikipedia pages can have pornographic images. There is nothing more to say by that about that one.
Yep. Yeah.
That is hands down in my top five. The next one is not only an our favorite top five, but this was the episode in season three that we got the most feedback from about people liking, including Jay, who said that this was his favorite episode. It was that he said it was a great episode. And this would be 3.21, November 30th, 2018. It came out and it was titled Our Favorite DP Specialist. And it was when Brian, our favorite DP specialist, came on the show and we talked about season two of In the Dark and whatnot. And we also did the hashtag Beatles songs for millennials.
Oh, right. That was really fun too.
Yeah, it was sandwiched in fun.
That was a good episode.
It was a great episode. Like, I remember, I know that we got a lot of great feedback on it. People told me personally, like, I really like this episode, but like Jay came up to me and was like, this is a great episode. Like, this is a really good episode. I really enjoyed it. And I agreed. So I also cheated and included all three of our blooper and outtake episodes. So I won't go through those, but they were episode 3.24 from December 30th, 2018. 4.5 from July 31st, 2019, and January 6th, 2020. So we can skip over those. They're literally what they say. I put a lot of work into those, and I think they're all funny.
There's super well done.
I love our blooper episodes.
Thank you. All right, moving on. We don't have a whole lot left, I don't think. But the next broadcast episode that I would recommend would be Almost Kidnapped. It was from January 11th, 2019, episode 3.25. And that is, we came back from our holiday break, and I told everybody about the time that I tried to mail Christmas cards as we were driving to New York and almost got kidnapped in a New Jersey gas station parking lot.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was a good times. Good times. Next up, we have the three TTs, which I honestly, full disclosure, I remember not loving the title of the episode at the time because I was like, oh, nobody's going to like see this and like want to listen to it. But the episode was so much fun. So we talked about allergies. I think maybe your IP allergy, Shandy. Lies our parents told us that we believed. We went on a tribute to the Adventures of Mary Kate and Ashley's theme song. That was when I looked that up to play it for you guys. Like, we're building a mystery. We talked about the best way to make English muffin pizzas and subsequent variants, sex on TV, contraception, et cetera, et cetera. The next one is Complicated Truth, and that was from March 22nd, 2019, episode 3.35. That's the episode in which we talk about leaving Neverland, and I thought we had a really great discussion on it.
Yeah, I forgot that one.
Yeah. Moving forward, we have episode 3.37, April 5th, Brothers in Arms. I talk about going to Chicago. Oh, we talk about the Flowers versus Mississippi case appearing before the Supreme Court. But the reason that I particularly we like this is we talked a lot about Russian Doll. And Shandy goes off on this rant about Brett Kavanaugh and Clarence Thomas. And she's like, Brothers in Arm. And we cut out the whole rant, but we say, okay, we're going to name the episode after this so you can become a patron and listen to what the full thing was. Greg says that our discussion of blockers made him watch it. So talk about that. The next few, everybody in the chat was a part of. The next one is what do we say to the god of tequila? And that is our live Raleigh show. So if you missed it, Will, I might recommend starting there.
Who the heck? I missed it.
Yeah, Shandy missed it too, even though she was there. Yep. I love that one. I had beyond so much fun. I had people that I worked with who came up to me and said, "So I listened to your podcast and I thought that was so funny and I want to play that game." So that was when we played the That's What She Said game live, right?
Ah, that's right.
I believe
So funny. That was so great. I'm so sad that we're supposed to have our meetup a week from now and it's not going to happen and we're not going to do that. But I'm sure when we do have our meetup in the end of September, knock on wood, we will, you know, be able to do something just as similar. So yeah, almost done. Sorry. We move on to season 4, episode 1, Wow Broads Wow. And that was the episode where we talked about, Shandy knows. We talked about 303, the band. And we were like, how do we do 303? Like, the Wow Broads Wow. Yeah, that was a really fun show. Like, honestly, like, full disclosure, I have not liked our, like, season 2.1, 3.1, 4.1. I haven't liked the titles, but I've loved every single show. I thought they have been like stellar episodes. And then finally, just to finish it out, the last one is Amanda. It's called I Want Sex Noises and Candy. It's from 4/13 from October 5th. And it is the first time that Amanda's neighbors have sex on our podcast.
Yep. My neighbors made a radio porno and didn't even know.
They sure did, Skippy. All right. I kind of cheated with my top 5 being my top like 10.
No, they were solid. That was a nice trip down memory lane.
Thank you. Yeah. We've had a lot of really great things. All right. Anyway, Chad, if you guys have anything to say about that, we would love to hear it. Full disclosure, that's one of the reasons why I was like, let's do it live to see if anybody has anything to say about any of our live shows. We've only gotten blockers, which is acceptable. Completely acceptable, actually. Yeah. I might rewatch that movie this weekend because why not?
What else are we doing?
Have you guys gotten any kind of plan for phases, like date wise or
nope?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I feel like there was an announcement yesterday, but I haven't been paying attention to the news like at all.
Yeah.
Cool. So I don't know.
I've missed a couple of de Blasio pressers this past week, but I have a gripe with de Blasio's press conferences. Go with me. This will pay off, I hope. So Sunday morning, I like to watch CBS Sunday morning. It is the only heartwarming, make you feel good news on TV. I enjoy it. I get up early so I can watch CBS Sunday morning. Freaking de Blasio does his press conferences right in the middle of the show. I feel like an old lady that I'm complaining about this. But it really sucks. Like, not there are cool. So many hours in a day. Why do you got to do it then? Why can't the press you do conference? It at noon?
Is that a press conference where he was like, and I shall go back to my gym while you all have a parade?
He did talk about a ticker tape parade. We're going to have a ticker tape parade when this is all over. He has said it in a press conference.
I can't wait.
It's just like, like, just do it at noon. Do it during Face the Nation. Like, no one wants to hear about politics right now. Do your press conference then.
Yeah, we need, like, a lot of coffee before we get into that.
Yep.
Greg.
All right.
I hope our discussion of Real Housewives doesn't make you want to watch Real Housewives. Just saying. Putting that out there. Okay. I'm just kidding. All right. We're going to finish the show up right now. We've got some feedback in regards to the new Fiona Apple album. Janet said it's hard to pick a favorite over Leon, but she is partial to Under the Table and Newspaper. Oh, Newspaper is so good. I love Newspaper. Really Newspaper. Good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. JP shared an article from Broadway World that Jesus Christ Superstar is going to have an all-female cast for its next reiteration. It's not loading for me. I'm sorry, JP. Does anybody else have it loading?
It's not. No, my internet is like not working. Luckily,
I don't know if it's the internet or if it's just maybe the link. So many people are on the site because mine is also not loading.
I can't look anything up.
It's not loading. It's not loading for me either.
Okay, so
there must be something big in Broadway news happening right now.
Well, there's been.
Oh my God! Did Stephen Sondheim die? Oh no!
No! He didn't die. Oh my God! I read this. Side note: I read this amazing like editorial the other day about why Phantom, despite being the trashiest Twilight of our generation, is still amazing because it's the trashiest Twilight of our generation. And I was like, "You're right." Like they're like, "Smoke
please send that to me."
Yeah. Okay, well, they're smoke.
I hate
machines.
Phantom. It's a like, stupid musical.
Yeah,
and people like, always think I'm crazy for saying that.
Smoke machines and murderous gaslighter and
synthesizers.
Like, synthesizers. Yeah, they have that too. They're like,
oh, it's so bad. It doesn't make any sense. The plot doesn't make any sense.
I know, but they talk about that in there. They're like, here's why it's great for us teenage girls who were coming of era at that time. And it's like all tongue in cheek, but like, yeah, I'll send you the link. It's
please,
just it's
please
really
do.
Funny. Yeah. I was like, God, like this is both amazing and also so much more problematic than I remember as a 13-year-old. Okay, anyway, sorry. All right. So JP shared the link about Jesus Christ Superstar. It's not loading. We'll try again in a little bit. Otherwise, we'll save it for next week.
But it like, yeah, from what I remember, how it was like Shoshana Bean is in it, Cynthia Erivo, like a whole bunch of like really big folks. Still don't particularly like that show, but you know, I applaud.
Jesus Christ. Who are you?
I don't know how to love him.
Okay. Anyway. All right. Moving on. Sorry. Matt has two recommendations from Hulu. Portrait of a Lady on Fire, about a woman commissioned to paint the official wedding portrait of a reluctant bride that won the Queer Palm at Cannes. Where Cannes. Is that right, Shandy?
Just Cannes.
Cannes. Okay, I was right the first time.
Yeah.
Where it competed against the what?
The Parasite, which got the Palme d'Or, which is
oh right.
Yeah. Barely any men in it as well, but plenty of beautiful visions and striking use of color. The second recommendation is Mrs. America, which okay, so my friend Carmen that listened to the show and Nick actually texted me too. They both also recommended Mrs. America.
Oh, I want to watch it so bad.
Yeah, an FX miniseries chronicling the fight for the ERA, which, spoiler alert, we still didn't get. In the 70s from both sides of the battles. Watched the first three over the weekend. I was very impressed. Well made with an incredible cast. Rose Byrne, Elizabeth Banks, Uzo Aduba, character actress Margot Martindale, Tracy Ullman, Melanie Linsky, Sarah Paulson, and Kate Blanchett. I have heard great things about that.
Oh, I've been following it for a while, and I'm so excited that FX is now on Hulu. I'm so excited. Yeah.
And I will say, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, Frank saw it before the Shelter in Place and absolutely loved it and was like, you have to go see it. And so I was going to like see if it was playing in my local area. And then literally like the next day, everything closed down. So now it can be watched online, which is great.
Let's see. So checking in real quick before we go to finish this up to the Master She Said and then the Andy update. Matt said that Booksmart is also on Hulu.
Oh, yeah. We should all watch that and talk about it. It is one of the best movies I've watched in a long time. I loved it.
Randy said that CBS Sunday Morning Gin is great.
With gin? Yeah. I've never done it that way, but yeah, I think I'm going to this Sunday.
I think he means Sunday morning, but like the autocorrect was just too great to pass
no,
up.
No, no. I'm doing it Sunday morning with
gin. Sunday morning gin.
Yep. Some people do mimosas. I'm just going to do some gin. Maybe a splash of OJ. We'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling.
Just a splash, though. Why ruin the gin with the OJ?
Why ruin the gin?
Greg said, I do love the Raleigh live shows. Extra fun to see everybody in person, and I've gotten to contribute the past 2 years. And we're happy to have you here the past 2 years, Greg. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, finishing up with a Master She Said, and then we have an Andy update. And do we have anything? Oh, we have JP. We have a JP broad questions.
Not a broad questions. I thought so too.
Not a broad question. Okay. Oh, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay. Well, let's do our Master She Says, and then plot twist with JP's email.
All right. I have a list, but it's not five.
I need to get it down.
I'm at a 10 right now.
This is awkward. Shandy and I were talking before you got on, Amanda.
I can't not share this.
I did put the work in this week.
I can do you one better.
I wonder how this person slipped past me.
You want to just do it now?
Oh, God, always. That's hard.
I just love a noodle. Any kind of noodle.
My eyes and my hands have nothing to do. I call that a good day.
No.
I can do all of them. It's just which is one I do the most.
Where's the excitable one?
I'm going to keep taking it until I get another.
I'm going to keep doing this when I talk.
Dude, close your mouth.
What else do we have in here?
We will be compelled to watch whatever else comes out.
One or two each. We'll keep it quick.
We're not going through the whole, is it our fourth or is it our fifth? I said it's our fourth, and that's what we're celebrating. I stand by that.
We'll have 2 weeks to play with.
I set them to go off at 10 a.m. each day.
Okay, that one's kind of a stretch, but still funny.
Yeah, I am. Agreed.
We have an email from JP and then an email from Andy, and then we're going to set you all free.
And I feel like I shouldn't even read the title because it will just give it all away. But I will. Weird things during sex. Here we go, gang. There was a post recently on Facebook titled, "What's the weirdest thing someone has done during sex?" I scrolled through and found some of these gems. JP. Okay, gem number one. So I was there, bent over on my bed while he was pounding me from behind. Then my cat decided to crawl up on my back and sit there. And he starts to pet her. I was immediately done and stood up.
What happened to the cat when he stood up?
And who's to say? The story ends there. She was done. She was done.
She was done with him.
Gem number two. I was giving my BF a blowjob and I randomly stopped, grabbed it, pulled down, and said, "Pull the lever, Kronk," then rolled off the bed.
You got to say it like they do in the movie. Pull the lever, Kronk.
I didn't know what this is from.
It's from Emperor's New Groove. I'm really sorry that you do that off the top of my head.
So then maybe you should just read that one. You read that one because you'll do the delivery properly.
So Eartha Kitt is like the bad guy. She's like, "Pull the lever." Oh,
that was it. Nice. No, read the whole sentence. You just read that whole little blurb because you're going to do it right. Comedic value.
Then roll over the bed while yelling, "Wrong lever." It's so funny. It's a great movie.
Nice.
They also speak llama in it. Like Tony. It all comes full circle.
Okay, next one. We were a few minutes into watching The Hobbit and decided to have sex, as one does. We pause the movie so we don't miss anything. We pause in a moment where Gandalf giving us a disapproving look. We were so uncomfortable.
Oh,
they could have just, you know, skipped ahead, skipped back. I don't know. It didn't sense. All right. While in missionary position, I asked him to pull my hair. He grabbed my bangs and yanked.
Ow.
Well, that just seems cruel. And last one. The ex and I were doing the 69. She gagged and peed a little right in my mouth.
You know something? It happens.
That's the risk you take. That is the risk you take.
All right. And then to finish up this show, we have an Andy update.
All right. So Andy writes in, this week in Andy social distancing, hey, broads. Dying of COVID-19 would be a supremely awful way for this story to end. I've always worried about dying a virgin, and there's been too much death lately. It doesn't help that it looks like we're going to see a whole lot more before we're done. I'm doing what I can to stay healthy and weather this storm. On a lighter note, finger protectors, or finger condoms, are very much real. Sometimes they're used for covering up injuries or for traction when handling paper or money. I think they probably could also be used during sex, but I don't know. You can get them on Amazon. Just be sure to use the Jay and Jack extension.
jayandjack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters.
Well, that's about it for me for this week. Not much else to do besides study OMG Yes videos like the Zapruder film, which would certainly give a new meaning to back and to the left. Hashtag I'm 6 feet from hers, Andy.
Andy, back and to the left is one of my mottos. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody has their spot. No, I'm just kidding. Hey. I think I was trying to make a my vagina is a lefty joke, but it didn't quite come off that way.
No, I got it. I thought okay. That was brilliant.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Are you having deja vu right now? Because I am.
A little bit. A mild case.
So my coworker, so you know the little things that you use, like the rubber things that you use, you don't have to like lick your finger when you're counting paper?
Mm-hmm.
My coworker has two of them, and she calls them her thumbs. And whenever like we're counting something at work, because we do like elections once a year, whenever we're like counting like paper really fast, she'll be like, oh, let me go get my thumbs. And that reminded me of finger condoms.
They might be one and the same.
Exactly, yeah.
You're right.
they might be the same thing.
Okay, somebody tell Jacob that he needs to make broadcast finger condoms. It doesn't need to be clever. It could just literally be, you know, paper scrapers.
Thumbs.
I'm kind of here for this.
I think it's something people could use.
Yeah.
Right.
All for usable things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tiger King has his own line of condoms. Why can't the broadcast have finger condoms?
Yes. I'm glad that you bring this up because I cut that part out of the show for time. But yeah, we did totally talk about how he has his line of condoms.
I think we're onto something here.
I think we are too. This isn't quite the level of honorary broad merch.
So you know, you're like really, really in there.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. It's great. Good stuff.
All right. Well, thank you, Andy. I appreciate it. All right. On that note, I think it's time to wrap this up and get out of here. Thank you, patrons who are watching tonight. Thank you to the patrons that contributed a certain level. And that we tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, who popped by tonight for the first time in ages.
Yay. I know. It was a first for me. It was very exciting.
I know. It was awesome. Jeez, what did I do? Tack, Eckhart, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Ed the Creepy Man, Drake the Destroyer of Time, and Greg the Gray. Thank you guys so much. And we appreciate anybody that's listening right now. We hope that we can bring some brightness to your quarantine life. Make it a little bit of quarantine-a-dice, if I will. Just slide in that title right in there one more time to make it make Nail sense. It. But yeah, on that note, does anybody else have anything before we go?
Nope.
Don't think I do. I'm good.
All right. Well, we will see you next week. And on that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye. Bye.